I came across some notes that I wrote down in 2013. And it talked about potential. And what I realized is your identity is connected to your potential. And it says here, it says the definition, what is potential? It says dormant ability, untapped strength, unused success, hidden talent, capped capabilities.
That's awesome, Pastor Rob. Because one of the things that, well, we were preparing for this, and I mentioned to Pastor Rob, I had some things that I thought was very relevant to the time. You began to give us the recap, and it led me right into that because our untapped abilities and resources, if you don't know who you are, you can't reach what you're able to do to become fully who you are, which leads us to one of the problems we're having today with people with mental illness and depression, because if you strive long enough against yourself, because that's what happens when you don't identify correctly, you strive long enough against yourself, there becomes, we know, in the word, there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. People who don't know that are striving against themselves, even though they already do have an identity, but by not knowing that, it becomes a burden to them emotionally and mentally, trying to find that place. Yes. If I heard you correctly, and I know I read this last week, but the word identity, idem, means sane. Same, S-A-M-E. And so if you don't have it, which led me to this, if you don't have your identity, you can't be in the same condition or the oneness with the spirit, the mind, and the body. And so all of those parts of your character are looking to find their rightful places.
Yes.
Right? This came up today while I was listening to a talk show, and there was a young lady who had been experiencing mental concerns. Part of that because she had some brain damage she had to work through, physical brain damage she had to work through. But it became very clear that the mental illness we're dealing with today is because, one, part of that reason is because people don't know their identity, so that everything in the world is giving them their identity. Other things are making them say, or are saying to them, you're this. If they don't know who they are, yeah, they may fall for it. And when you're floundering in that, you really think something's wrong with you, which causes that thing that triggers that mental depression and mental illness piece in you, because your mind is constantly trying to reconnect. I just wanted to add that because it has a lot to do with the inner self and the outer self when you're searching for that piece that's called identity.
So, Elder, we got a question, but before that question comes, can you read what is identity crisis?
Identity crisis, and this is what you were talking about today, in fact. An identity crisis is a period of difficult transition, such as adolescence or midlife, when the visible you severely conflict with the real you, causing pain, distress, and a desire for change. Who am I? What do I believe in? What values should I live by? What do I want to do with my life? And I'll read that scripture, the scripture that we want to give you in a minute, but those are the things, the what's, the who's, the how's start to come up when you're floundering in this world trying to find out who you are.
Well, I just comment, and you talked about stress and depression, and one of the other things that keys on that is the more stress and depression you have, things start going wrong physically. Physical problems have become, but I think most of our problem today with the stress and depression is our younger people, and you know, all the other generations, they don't have nobody to talk to. They don't have no one to give it to.
I'm glad you brought that up. And I know we're going to deal with that. I, I just felt like we were going another direction with that one. But the truth is, they're talking to each other all the time. That's what social media is all about, where they're talking to each other. But what information are they getting from each other is a concern.
That's the key. And if you don't know who you are, sometimes people can give you information that just make you feel good, that don't correct the situation. I want to read the scripture, and as I said, this is some paperwork that I had from 2013, and it took me to Psalms 139, verse 13, and I'm going to read 13-16, and if you have an opportunity, you got your Bible, go along with me, and I'm coming out of the Amplified, and it says, For you formed my innermost parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks and praise to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret. You were intricately and skillfully formed as if embroidery with many colors in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and your books were all written the days that were appointed for me, when as yet there was not one of them even taking shape. And I was sharing with my group earlier today about God has already, he already knows the end before the beginning. But we can alter that by being disobedient.
So let me ask you a question right there, because I'm asking you, remember I said to you, I ask questions because I remember as a new Christian, I asked all these questions. So you're telling me, as a woman or man, even though God already has ordained certain things happen because you just read to me, I can personally change that?
Through decisions. If we go back to the beginning, we look at Adam and Eve. God already had a predestined for them, but they altered it by being disobedient.
Oh,
and through their disobedience, it also caused the sin of man through their lineage to fall under that sin, to lose that relationship.
Let's stay right there for a minute. So what you just said to me, I'm going to play this to the Christian here, because these are questions I remember a lot of young people ask and children have asked. So I can make a decision that's going to change what God said I am or I'm supposed to be. Either let me make that choice, and then I won't end up there, wherever it is.
You know, we are the only creatures that God has given the will to change.
To choose.
And in our choice, we change. You know, nothing else goes against the will of God.
That's true.
Only men, through our choices, we go against the will of God.
So, okay, so now that takes me back, though, to what I originally said. There have been things in this world that have affected us because we didn't know what God really meant for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Meaning our identity.
Yes.
And we didn't even know, because we didn't know our identity and didn't know the word, and didn't know God, on the relationship that he wanted us to. We have pursued some things that have altered, redirected, changed the path that he has set us on. But is it, I'm going to ask this question, is it, if God ordained something, is it possible that what he ordained cannot really be altered?
It can be. It's going to be ordained, but it don't have to be you to do it. It can be, whatever he destined to come to pass will come to pass. It could be you, or it's going to be someone else.
So that doesn't mean in my life. I need everyone else there to understand. These aren't questions I don't know. These are questions that I've heard people ask. Mm-hmm. And when we're talking as ministers of the gospel, they are difficult questions.
Yes.
In that if you don't know God, you will really have a hard time sometimes comprehending the actual truth of what we're saying, because it doesn't sound like it fits, which is why a lot of people are having these identity issues.
And so when we go back to that first question, who am I?
Who am I?
Who am I? And I just read that scripture where it says, I formed your most innermost parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks and praise to you, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you, for when I was in the beginning, from being formed in secret, you intrinsically and skillfully formed me in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. So he's telling you, and it says, and your books are written, all written, and the days were appointed for me. So he appointed days for us, but we can alter them by being disobedient, by coming out of God's will.
So in essence, with that scripture you just read, as we break it down, and the word always confirms itself to help us to understand who we are. So we have, and I'm coming to you, Pastor, 1 Peter 2:9. And it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, identity, you're chosen by God. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy, says nation, that means we are together, each of us are. And we're people for his own possession, meaning God's own love and relationship. Those are just a few of the characteristics of who we are as God's children, or God's, let me put this, God's created ones.
That was just God already, most other, because he's creators, already knows we're going to make slip-ups. We're going to be disobedient. He already knows that. I remember when I was trying to change myself from what I was doing, everybody used to say to me, peer pressure, you can't change. Nobody can change. Well, you know what? You can change. We've got knowing God, you can change your life around, but it's a choice that you make, like Pastor Rob was saying. But if we can think about it this way, Jesus talked about the salt. Well, the salt is a change agent. So in other words, we have the ability to change. We just have to choose to do the right thing.
And we need to know what the right thing is. See, the world will tell you one thing, and a lot of people, that's how we get off track, because we're born into this world. And even from birth, I was recently, I've had a couple of new grandchildren. So I'm there in the hospital with one of them being born. But once that child left that mother's body, she was now experiencing all of the atmosphere and environment around her. So that those things that were going into her ear gate, those things that were going in her eye gate, would affect what was going through her brain, her heart, and her spirit. In essence, they will begin to form you. And if you're not getting the right influx into those gates, you don't know that you're not getting it. You're responding to what you're receiving.
So, Ella, can you read that next part?
An identity crisis is a period of severe disillusionment when your identity is based on a role or relationship that has been changed or moved. There's a list of some things. The loss of a job. Your identity was in your career, a role. I can relate to that. I've been through that, where I had worked all these years in a career that I actually loved and adored, could, and successfully so. And when the time came that this was no more, I could feel myself falling apart. Because I thought that this was, and I've said it earlier, this is who I was.
And that's so important, because too often we identify ourselves based off of what we do, the relationships we have, who our parents are, and those things, and we lose ourselves. And here it says in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confidence and peace. Now, that happened through your identity with Christ. So if you don't have that identity with Christ, you can't see yourself doing these things. It's based off your job, it's based off of people, it's based off what others say, and when you don't have those things, now you don't believe you can do it.
So let me read a few more of these, and then let's talk about these things, because these are the everyday things, earthly things, that we experience or are affected by. Let me read it. Okay. So, how about the loss of a spouse due to death or divorce? Now, interesting, death or divorce. So the physical person may not have gone forever, but no longer with you. Those kinds of things will affect how you see yourself, how you feel about yourself. I'm going to speak from a woman's point of view right now. Can't go from the wife's point of view. Okay. But truth is, there are many of us as females who our identity was in the fact that we were connected to another person, like in marriage or relationship, and that person, for whatever reason, represented what we thought was making us the whole person we were, making us beautiful, making us intelligent, making us wealthy, whatever. And when that's gone, death or divorce, we don't know who we are. We don't remember. And we've experienced, most women, a lot of women have experienced that point of depression and a feeling of mental illness, loneliness, separation, isolation, where because everything you had was tied up in this, your identity was tied up into something or somebody.
And you know, a big part too that sometimes we don't even realize is how it affects the children.
That's true.
And we're growing up in a society where children are having to deal with the experience of divorce, that separation, and not fully having an understanding as to why. And now they're having issues with relationships and commitment, you know, because they were in a family or a household where they thought everything was okay. And then all of a sudden, now mommy and daddy are no longer together, you know. And then in some instances, some kids might even experience or seen something. I seen something the other day where a young man, his father took him to on other dates when he was going out messing with other women, and he had to carry that. His father and mother were married for over 25 years, and he carried that burden.
So he saw, at first, what was his father, his mother's husband, acting in every means or ways that did not represent a father and did not represent a husband, without even knowing, and said it's true, without even knowing what those roles really, he was too young to know what those roles really represented. So the confusion in identity could set in very early with that, because you haven't even, the foundation for knowing hasn't been laid yet.
And this is what we have in society right now, you know, and we've been sharing on this. Pastor Ray has been talking about this, about these seven generations here on the earth right now. And we talked about out of those seven, basically all seven, there's been a crisis that each generation had to deal with. In each generation, one crisis affected another generation after each generation. And right now, here we are, seven generations later, really seeing the effects where relationships with one another are so lost because of the steady decline. You know, we talked about that the generation of baby boomers, which was the 60s. So not only did they have to deal with segregation and all those other things, the war going on, and then going into the 70s, the war was still going on. So then you had to deal with the dope era, because many fathers came home from the war with PTSD and then the drugs, dope, they was dealing with that. So now, not only were they on drugs, but now they were going to prison because of the drug.
So let me help you out here. I was going to bring that out here so we could go over that, but I don't mind that. Let's go back even farther. First thing, often in society we say that the generations are falling apart because there's no two parents in the household. I want to go all the way back to Christ's day. All the way back. And there were many, many, many households. So that's not a new effect on society. It's been happening since before Christ's time, actually. But if you start building the years of what we call the baby boomers, which really baby boomers were born in the 50s, the drug epidemic started really in the 40s. But it was isolated, fairly isolated, not only one isolated, fairly isolated, falling. Pockets of people. We're going to get into that. Okay, and then every generation now after that, not only did we have the families not together, not only the drugs not together, then we had the psychological era where everything was about brain power. Meaning, I'm saying this to show how each generation got farther and farther away from the foundation of God, of the word of Christ, and each generation had compounded, as you were saying, compounded issues that there was fewer and fewer people around working on.
And if you don't have no foundation, and you're looking at all the things that you're going through, and you're saying, where's God at? How could he allow this to happen? And it doesn't have anything. It has everything to do with us. Us coming out of the will of God and doing things, making choices. Someone said this here. They said, it can be altered by us going out of the will of God. And we've seen that from generation to generation that we began to fall out of the will of God. You know, and I say this all the time, that I thank God for the foundation that I had where my parents were talking to me about that relationship with God. Even though I didn't have it for myself personally at the time, they gave me information. They gave me a foundation which I can turn to, right? You know, however, society, generation after generation, and I guess a millennial. Yeah, I'm a millennial, you know. And I'm 53. So and the thing is that
that my household was a single family household. And the drug epidemic was big during that time. It was big, it was heavy, you know, and we faced a whole lot of things that could deter you from believing God is real, because how could he allow these things to happen? And those were some of the things that I struggled with as a young man. And I could imagine some other young men and women struggling in those areas who didn't even have a foundation.
And that's good. But one of our points here about the identity or role of relationship understanding is moving from a secure environment. So during that time, and today, it's not just children either, but children, young people, and now older people, the baby boomers and older, the environments are no longer secure. You may have lived in a, maybe you didn't live in a mom and dad two-parent home. Maybe you lived in a mom, papa and mama two-parent home. Or maybe you lived with mom and mama. Still two parents, this may not have been male or female. But there were two parent figures in the house. Now, we're in this season where my mom probably not in the household. Drugs and all that is taking the father figure out. Finances have gotten bad, and now we are transient. So you don't even have the security of being in the same community where you left the parents.
And even your community that used to be safe, you used to feel comfortable in, you're no longer even comfortable in, you know? So in order for you to adapt, you have to become a product of your environment. So you lose some of the moral foundation that mama may have given you, but in order for you to survive when you get to the streets, you have to adapt to what the streets are doing. That's the mindset. That's the mindset that I gotta adapt to what the streets are doing in order to survive that environment that I'm stuck in, that I believe I'm stuck in. You know, and this is what's happening to so many young men and women. They believe they're stuck in that environment because we become dependent on the government, on people to provide for us and give us a way out instead of seeking a way out ourselves. And tapping into the resources that God has given us.
I was watching Dr. Charles Stanley last week. Matter of fact, he was speaking just about this. And he said, the society today are wandering around like nomads without a destination. And that's what he basically was saying, that nobody is tapping into the resources and to know who God is and how God can change their life.
That's good. Let me go to scripture on that one. Job 6, 13, I'm going to read 13 and 14. I'm reading out of the King James Version. And it says, is not my help in me? And is wisdom driven quite from me? Question. To him that is afflicted, pity should be shown from his friend. But he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. And all that is saying is, you become afflicted with this, but you're afflicted because you won't turn to the God to get your help. That's what the Lord is saying. But it takes me back to our original point. For those who are dealing with identity issues, what are we offering? And I think that's what we need to offer them to help them connect with their identity.
And that's the part that we are fighting with as the body of Christ. Because there's so many people who are giving a false identity of who you are in Christ. So if I've seen, you know, they talk about that church hurt.
Yeah.
You know, so if I see my parents be church hurt, And I've seen them go to church all my young life, but I haven't seen no results. My perception of what the church has to offer, what God has to offer, has been stained. And I shared with the young men and women today, I said, and I realized that myself is, our relationship with God is personal. So what happened with my mom or my grandma or my dad or those family members, that was what they allowed to happen. That doesn't mean that's going to happen with me. And that's the part that we have to get them to understand. Because the relationship with God is a personal relationship. It's a one-on-one relationship. It's not based off of what happened with my mom or grandma. It's based off of our personal relationship with God.
You start out by saying why a culture like that will come back. But before I went out, you were talking about the result of not knowing the identity. And you talk about the seven generations that are here together, like never been before. That's a strategically planned by culture change. Because now that we're here, the culture has affected us so rapidly and changing so much that it causes you to struggle on trying to find a true identity. And like, yes, our parents were in one culture system that received from the church one message. And then when we grew up, now we're in another culture system that needs to be addressed in another message. And that message is not being related to the society in a way that they can recognize who their identity is. Now, I'm not blaming the church, but there's the shift didn't happen. The shift is not across the board. All the churches understand that young people take their identity from their culture. And you know, and since the culture is rapidly changing with technology and new things that offer them, it looks like the church has nothing to offer. But we who have been in the race for a while, we know how important it is to recognize what the Word of God has to offer. So that's our challenge. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? Trying to get them to recognize. But see, the awesome thing about the Word of God is that they will have crises. They will not have a culture shift without a crisis. There's going to be a clash. There's going to be a crash. There's going to be a fall. There's going to be a dilemma. There's going to be a trauma that's going to cause them to come back to God. Then we can grab them and show them how important to their identity in Christ. But that's a struggle. That's our struggle now.
Pastor, so you know, you're negative in the end. So our culture struggles, as you eloquently said, have really been going on a long time. Different cultures, different application of the word, which is why this word is so full and so powerful, because it is applicable for each culture, but not knowing how to disseminate it or how to adjust your deliverance of it for the times. I'm saying that to say that, because I asked the question, just forgetting about us, what are we offering you to bring you in? The truth is, we got to offer you what the truth is, which is the Word of God, which never changes. But what we understand now is that our deliverance of that truth is now being adjusted. And in all fairness to the church, to the youth, to all those struggling, we're all going through this same adjustment time, because we're all living in this culture. The church has had to play catch up in some areas only because technology hit us quick. Had we had time to adjust to some of that a little quicker, and I'm going to use me for example. This is going to make y'all laugh. I can remember when they put the first computer on my desk. It was called a CRT and not a computer, okay? it was huge.
They're that big.
Okay. And then we had to start learning how to do and process in our minds and things totally different than when we were just writing things on paper and all that. I'm only saying that to say that's an example of how life can come to us. The times have now shifted. The Word tells us about this, by the way, y'all. I'm sharing it with you so you can look it up. Okay. It's in the Word. Go to 2 Timothy, go to Matthew 24. It's in the Word. But the times have shifted so that we humans who didn't grasp God and the Word He was giving us soon enough or have to make these shifts in our lives. Now, the shift happened to all of us. I just said that. So we not only have to make the shift, we have to learn how to communicate it from the God perspective in a way now that meets the current need.
And you know, and you brought up Christ's era and all the same type of crises that we're dealing with now, besides the drugs.
Okay.
You know, they were dealing with during that same time. And just like we're dealing with now, where the Pharisees couldn't understand the shift that God was taking.
That's true.
The body of Christ is the same thing we're dealing with now. And it's not a shift from Christ. It's a shift from knowing God. Because now this generation don't have no relationship at all with God.
But there are some.
There's some. I want to say this. Yes, there are some.
Because, you know, it's difficult sometimes when we're talking these kind of conversations for us not to make what people call the blanket statement. Because you're really trying to reach the masses. But let's go on record. We understand that this is not a telltale for everybody. That there are young, old, and in-between people who have grasped the concept, the understanding of God, accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and are living lives that are different. But we're seeing masses of people who are not. And when I started talking about the mental illness that's going on, if you turn on every station, I tried this the other night, I really did, 22 TV station. I tried. Unless it was just a movie playing, and even in the movie, it was happening. People were dealing with mental illness and stress on some level or another. They either were talking about death and how it was affecting them. They were talking about the loss of jobs. They were talking about homelessness. They were talking and how these people were all at 122 stations. And then I went to the news. That wasn't even the news. All I'm saying is that it's because of technology, the ability for us to hear this stuff more and to see it more, it has become more impactful on us as a people without getting the influx of the Word because there's so much more of it being presented to us.
And that's one of the dangers. They only give us the bad part. And the journey from the crisis to the news, we don't hear. So we have to really, as God given, thank God, discern this issue that's being broadcast through our media, the TV station.
Yeah.
So let me read the scripture here, because this is the Lord gave His words earlier today, and I studied years ago about prudence. And it says, Proverbs 14:15 says, the simple believe anything, but the prudent gives thought to their steps. So to be prudent means that we do not believe everything that we hear. We are wise and test every spirit and every word. That's what prudent does. And see, you can't become prudent when you're in an identity crisis. Because you're struggling on finding out who you are And then your self-esteem is affected, your self-worth is affected, your view of the world is tainted by the crises of the troubles inside of you. So when we do get someone that's struggling for their identity, we have to break down those barriers to find out what caused that person to lose their perception of themselves. And like you said earlier, it could be mental illness, it could be low self-esteem, homelessness, like divorce, death, all these things. And like I said, the culture plays a lot to cause these things to happen. You know, and there are thousands and thousands of young people that believe God. But when you listen to them, right, they're on a journey of their own to reach the culture.
Yeah.
And we have to recognize and commend them for what they're doing. Because they're not reaching them like we're reaching them, like we were taught to reach them back in the day. So we have to adjust our lens and how to reach them. Because we are the millennium. I mean, we are the baby boomers. And when they see us and they see our gray, they tend to call us G.
Old G,
right? And if we come from the old G perspective, they don't listen. So, but prudent means that you are actually paying attention to what you hear and how you digest what you hear and direct your steps.
God, let me read this scripture because it taps right into what you said, and it comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. And it says, "Yet we do speak wisdom among those spiritually mature, believers who have teachable hearts and greater understanding. But it is a higher wisdom, not the wisdom of the present age, nor of the rulers or the leaders of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in the mystery, the wisdom once hidden from man, but now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God predestined before the age of our glory to lift us into glory, into the glory of his presence." It says, "None of the rulers of this age recognized or understood this wisdom. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written in the scripture, things which the eyes have not seen, and the ears have not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him, who hold him in affection and reverence, who obey him, and who gratefully recognize the benefits that he has bestowed."
Pastor Bruce just mentioned. This is 2 Timothy 2, again, the first verse, New King James Version. "Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Here it comes. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou," meaning yourself, "to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." All it's saying is, you trying to find your identity? Seek out the godly, faithful counsel of others who have learned the grace of God and how it works in them, that you may be able to be strengthened through this. And then 3 says, "Thou therefore endures hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." All it's saying is that it will teach you how to stand up to this time against all that's happening. This world is causing us all of this hardship. 4 says, "No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And all it's saying is that those of us who have stood, I'm going to use this term, the test of time, because you understand what I mean when I say that. The word of God that has helped us to stand are soldiers who don't get caught up in all this stuff in the world, because we're living, we've lived and proven that the word of God works. So when you come to someone with counsel, no matter what it is, see, this is the key to this word. He's not saying whatever is wrong is too minute or too big for you to talk to someone who could help guide you through it. He's saying, whatever that is, go to that person that or those people who know me and know the word. They're going to give you counsel for that. And it's going to help you because they don't let the world pull them in. I hope I made sense.
And you know, and that's so important that you said that, because this is the issue that the enemy has used to discourage people from trusting in men of God, men and women of God, because they come in the image and say they believe in God and they act like that, but their character doesn't reflect the truth of God. So then you become disbelieving in that counsel. I don't want that counsel because who you say you are is not reflected in your character. And we see it all over the news. And they put them on that pedestal. And they got dirt on that arm. And as soon as they come out of who they want them to be, now the dirt comes out. And now the person who you was following, you was looking up to, now you're looking at them differently. But we forget we're all humans.
Yeah.
And that's a good point, Pastor, because what they put out doesn't necessarily make the truth. Just put the narrative out there. And then, because our culture is so quick to grab hold of anything. That's why I say prudent. They have to recognize their steps. And don't believe everything they hear, you know. A young lady asked me today, and she was asking a question about the Bible. And she's been she talks to me, asks me questions all the time. And I try to give her the best godly advice that I can. But I try not to steer her in a direction where only that would confuse her. So she was going into a direction that she was going to get confused. So she asked the question, she said, if God made Adam and Eve, where do all those other people come from? You know? And if Cain killed Abel, where do those other people came from? And I said, you have to understand, the Bible is a covenant journey. It's about God getting us back in alignment with Him. So it doesn't have to mention all the side stories.
That's right.
It's just trying to direct you from the fall to redemptive plan of Christ. You know, so it's not going to tell you about every little thing that's going wrong.
And it's not like reading, I said this, I don't know whether when I preached it, but it's not a novel. Even though the stories, I'm telling you, you read the Bible, I'm telling the stories, blow your mind to let you know that what you're dealing with today, people have been dealing with this stuff for a long time, but it's not written in chronological order the way a novel might be or a history book might be. The time is set, it is. But everything that he's telling you about is not written 101, this happened just in AD 101, and this happened AD 102, and this happened. All of it's not laid out that way. The idea, as Pastor Bruce was saying, is that God is getting across to you, first of all, that from the beginning, He set your end from the beginning. That's the first message he wants. Second message is that his desire has always been, never change. The goal's always the same, is to get us back in relationship with him. Everything he did or didn't do is always about those two things.
And that's the important part, and that's the part that people have to get into their spirit, you know. And like myself and like many of you out there, because we all probably relate, because we all have committed some sin. We all born in sin, you know, and the world tells us that certain things you can't come back from. But that's not what God says, you know, and because of those things, we think that what we did, God will never see us, so we stay in our mess. But I'm here to tell you that God forgives you. Yes, we got to deal with the consequences of our action, but God loves us. And one of the keys that I share with the kids today is belief. That's the first and foremost. You got to believe. If you don't believe, everything else falls out of place. You got to believe. And we can already close in a little while. And I want to hit with this scripture. And it comes from Hebrews 11. Verse 6, and it says, but without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. So it starts with that belief. And that's where your identity comes in place.
Pastor Rob, you just touched on something that seems to be another one of those cultural issues that we, the church, need to help people deal with and people dealing with all the time. The words you just read said that we should diligently seek to please God. But we're living in a culture time where it's about pleasing ourselves. Everything is about me. Yes. Very little about everybody else. I'm not saying nothing's ever about everybody else, but if everything is centered, I'll give you an example. Not the biggest fan of TikTok, but I do look at TikTok sometimes. So I'm looking at all these beautiful sisters on TikTok, and everybody is glammed out. And I mean, they're glammed out. They're gorgeous. Nails, makeup, hair, eyelashes, dress very nice, all of that. And for a while there, I can tell you, I could get pulled into that because I understood that part of this was about making sure that we felt okay about ourselves. But if you flip that script, if you see this all the time, you never feel good about yourself. Because the truth of living is that very few of us, females, I'm talking now, not males. Very few of us look and live like that every day, all day, all our lives. And so that keeps you chasing after something that makes you think about only you all the time. I'm not degrading or berating anybody. What I'm saying to you is that those are the tricks that have been happening over the years in our cultures that take our focus away from what makes our identity sure, our elect real to us, because we start visualizing things that are not real.
So we're in close, and I just want to remind you guys out there that we're going to be having these roundtable discussions at 6 o'clock from this day forward. So we invite you to be a part of it. Share, like, share your comments, please. Be a part of what we're doing here at Harvest. Share with some friends you know who may be interested or just need to hear the word. Might not want to come to church, but hear the word. Just share it with them on that Facebook page. Just tap them in, tag them, and let them know that this is a place where you can hear some good word. And we ain't just talking. We talking about a relationship with a real God, you know. And we're talking about the lives that we live in. Same life that you're living, that there's nothing new under the sun, and that the same God who saved us all here and you out there, he has a place for you as well. And we want you to be a part of it. We're having a concert here this weekend on the 23rd, 5 to 7. Come out and celebrate 25 years of ministry. Come out and celebrate with us. Be a part of it. Sundays, we're here at 10:30. Service starts at 11.
come be a part of 1101 Delaware Street in Newcastle, Delaware, the harvest where we're trying to build the people of God.
I just want to leave you with these two thoughts. The world says you're a product of your past, but God says you're a product of His future. The world says you must earn forgiveness, but God says just ask for forgiveness, and He will freely give it to you.
I'm going to close with this last scripture, and it comes from Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly more than all that we dare to ask or to think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. That us is you and me. So those hopes, those dreams, He can super abundantly go beyond that. But it starts with that relationship, that belief. We love you here at Harvest. Come be a part of what we're doing. Share this with your friends, your family, and continue to do God's will. Not our will, God's will. God bless you. Have a blessed night.